So are we having this mic today?
You want mic?
If it's there, then you arrange. Blow the setup and then we are reading. Is also making sound? We can nearly complete in just 3 minutes. Hari, no, 3 minutes, no? There are more. I just kept the red thread here.
The Vishnumurti is all had eternal, unlimited forms, full of knowledge and bliss, and existing beyond the influence of time. Their great glory was not even to be touched by the Gyanis engaged in studying the Upanishads.
So, mere Shastra-Jnana is not sufficient to understand the Lord. Vedeshu Durlabham. Just with the Vedic knowledge, one cannot understand his personality. Only one who is favored or shown mercy by the Lord can understand him. Prabhupada quotes this verse. Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Na Mejaisa Na Bahuna Shrutena Yam Evaisha Vrithi Tena Labhya Tasiva Atma Vrithi. Understand the Lord without an attitude of devotional service, with favorable intent, without any interruptions, one need to render service.
Savayaga dhatum padavim parasya durantam yiryasya rathanga pani yo amayaya santataya anuvrittya bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham. Amayaya, without any reservations, santataya, constantly, without any interruptions, anuvritya, very favorably, if one renders service to the Lord, then he can understand. Otherwise, he cannot understand. Even by Vedic knowledge also, he cannot understand. So, one cannot be proud of one's knowledge and Vedic scholarship. Ultimately, you should be able to love Krishna, you should be able to serve Krishna, you should understand what Krishna is. If that end is not achieved, what is the use of so much knowledge? Right? Just to present oneself as a great scholar or learned person in the eyes of this materialistic people, material world, that's not of very much use. And even spiritual knowledge also, if one is so learned in spiritual scriptures also, if he has pride, if he has envy, then
as His Holiness Sanatana Swami Maharaj says, that he has not understood even a single word of the scriptures. Although he may quote left right, quote verses left right center, he may convince so many people. Once Shyamananda Prabhu was giving a class here, when we were in BT 2019, then he said, like, somebody may be thinking that he is a great scholarly person, who can convince people, who can preach, who studies so well, etc., etc. And when he goes to the gate of spiritual world, he was presenting some example. When he goes at the gate of spiritual world and says that, I have made so many devotees, his name is not there in the list, who are supposed to enter. Then he will say, I have done this much preaching, I have converted so many people to Krishna consciousness, I have made so many devotees. Then the people, gatekeepers would say, you have forgotten to make one. Right? You have made so many people devotees, but one person you have not made yet devotee. So once that is done, then you can come in. And that is he only. So like that. So that's very important, to personally assimilate things, these spiritual principles, along with helping people understand them. Because everybody advances in spiritual life according to one's own attitude, right? So apparently somebody may be playing the role of a teacher or a preacher, and someone is playing the role of a student, or someone who is being preached, or maybe someone who is in leading a household life, coming to a person in renounced order and trying to learn the science of devotional service from him, right? So apparently he always seems to be subordinate and inferior and a humble person in front of the other person who is actually giving him teaching, either in the form of teaching or preaching. So apparently it seems like that. Roles are always seen in this world. He is superior, he is inferior. He is superior, he is subordinate, like that. But the actual advancement depends on the individual's attitude. Krishna has a different outlook. Now he has came to Krishna consciousness at so and so time, and this fellow has come after 10 years. So there could be 10 years difference. Whole world will acknowledge the difference between these two people. But Krishna has a different calculation. If this experienced person, learned person, teacher or preacher or whatever, so if this person is not having a proper attitude, if he is feeling envious of others, or if he is feeling proud of his position, etc., etc., then Krishna will not give so much preference to that person in comparison to the other person who is just humbly sitting and learning from him. Is it not? So attitude is more important. One's advancement in devotional service depends on his attitude. Prabhupada makes this profound statement in the preface of Annoy. Like that. So Prabhupada here, he says, the Shastra Jnana or knowledge of the Vedas does not help anyone understand the personality of Godhead. So Satya, Jnana, Ananta, Ananda, Matra, Ekarasa. All these Vishnu Murtis that Brahmaji is taking darshan of are eternal. They have unlimited forms, full of knowledge, bliss, existing beyond the influence of time. Their great glory was not even to be touched by jnanis. See, the glory of all these Vishnumurtis, it's untouched by great jnanis, and these Vishnumurtis are taking the forms of these simple cowherd boys. Right? The forms have become so accessible, and those forms have taken the trouble to replace these forms of cowherd boys, just 5-year-old boys. So now where is the position of these simple cowherd boys who are just playing and doing some mischief and naughtiness, playing in the forest, taking care of calves? And where are the scholars? Apparently in the eyes of the materialistic people in this world, the jnanis are superior, these simple boys who are playing there, they are inferior. But see from Krishna's perspective, right? Jnanis cannot even understand the expansions of the Lord, all these Vishnumurtis. And these boys are playing with the source of all those expansions. इत्थम सताम ब्रह्म सुखानुभूत्या. यस्टरडे वी डिस्कस्ड. सो प्रभुपाद राइट्स इन दिस सेकंड थर्ड पैराग्राफ, द ट्रांसेंडेंटल फॉर्म्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड आर बियॉन्ड द रीच ऑफ इम्पर्सनलिस्ट्स हु कैन ओनली अंडरस्टैंड थ्रू द स्टडीज ऑफ द उपनिषद्स दैट द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ इज नॉट मैटर एंड दैट एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ इज नॉट मटीरियली रिस्ट्रिक्टेड बाय लिमिटेड पोटेंसी. And the cows, the calves, the boys transformed into Vishnu Murtis or Vishnu forms were not displays of Vishnu Maya, but they were Vishnus themselves. Right? Vishnu himself manifested all these forms. Vishnu did not employ his energy to manifest. So the respective qualifications of Vishnu and Vishnu Maya are just like those of fire and heat. Fire is the source, heat is the effect. So similarly, Vishnu is the source and Vishnu Maya is just his energy. So all these boys are not manifestation of Krishna's energies, it's Krishna themselves, Krishna himself or Vishnu himself. So that's the point he mentioned. Again, sun is reflected in water pots. They are not reflections, they are replicas. 55th verse. Evam sakrida darshajya.
Evam sakrida darshajya.
परब्रह्मात्मनोखिलान् यस्य भाषा सर्वमिदं विभाति च चराचरम्.
Thus Lord Brahma saw the supreme Brahman, by whose energy the entire universe with its moving and non-moving unities is manifested. He also saw the same time all the cows and the boys as the Lord's expansion.
So Brahma could realize that he got this brilliant darshan. All the cowherd boys manifested as Vishnu forms, and all the vibhutis and the energies of the Lord and opulences of the Lord and all the tattvas, chaturvimshati tattvas, all of them are worshipping the Lord in various capacities. So Brahma got this brilliant darshan and he understood that they are the expansions of the Lord. Now, 56th verse. Tatoti kutu तते ततो अतिकुतु को द्वित्या स्थिमितैका दशेन्द्रियै तद्धाम्ना भूत अजस्तुष्णीम ऊर्देव्यन्तीव पुत्रिका.
His 11 senses, jolted by astonishment, and stunned by the transcendental bliss, became silent, just like a child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity.
Jolted by astonishment, stunned by transcendental bliss, that is the experience of Brahmaji. And a wonderful comparison is given. Now, some of our boys would get a small doll, plaster of Paris doll or something like that. They just pick up from our gift shop, small Krishna deity or some plastic deity. And then they come and stand in front of Vrindavan Bihari. So who gets the worship? So this, what is this small doll that the child is playing in front of the installed deity who is receiving six bhoga offerings and six worships, etc., etc.? So he became like that. A child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity. So the significance is vast. So the installed deity is installed by a pure devotee. With so many rituals, and thousands of Vaishnavas came there for the ceremony, and very formally it is established there. So in comparison to that, a clay doll is not very significant. Apparently it seems that, oh, that is also a doll, this is also a doll. Not like that. So here Brahmaji's pride was subdued, and he again merely became one of the demigods. So far he was artificially thinking that, I am superior to Krishna, I am also a creator. But he realizes the difference that my creatorhood or my position as a creator is like a firefly in front of the sun. It is like some other comparison was also given. So firefly also can produce heat and light, sun also can produce heat and light, but the difference is very vast. Right? So he realized that. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Devatam. So if one equates the demigods and the Lord, the demigods also have some controllership. Lord also has controllership. But the extent to which they can control is very different, right? Magnitude. So Brahmaji could understand that.
Iti reshe tarkya nijam mahimani sva pratim pramitike. Paratrajo tan nirasana mukha brahma kamitau. Anishe pidrashtum kimidam itiva muhyati sati. Chada jognatva sapadi paramoja javanikam.
He is a self-manifest, existing in his own bliss, and he is beyond the material energy. He is known by the praise jewel of the Vedas by the reputation of the relevant knowledge. Thus, in relation to that, Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, whose glory is actually shown by the manifestation of all the four forms of Vishnu, the Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was mystified. What is this? He thought, and then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then at once removed the curtain of his mind.
So, iti reshe, iraishe, iti iraishe, ira is Saraswati, iraishe is the master of Saraswati, who is Brahmaji. So, Brahmaji, so he could understand atarkye, tarka is some argument, atarkye, without any argument, he could understand whose own glory, nijamahimani. So pratimike, self-manifest and blissful. So that he could understand Krishna's position, which is beyond mental speculation. Atarkya, apratarkyat anirdeshyat. So Lord's position cannot be ascertained by tarka. So he is self-manifest, he is existing in his own bliss, and he is beyond the material energy. Paratrajato tan nirasana. Tan nirasana Prabhupada elaborates in the purport later, in the last paragraph. We'll come there and discuss. So here Brahmaji could understand. Here Prabhupada writes in the last sentence of the first paragraph, the potency which covers the actual reality and displays something unreal is Mahamaya, and the potency by which the absolute truth is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest is Maha, Yogamaya. So these are the differences between Lord's internal and external potencies. So Brahmaji could see lot of unity in this variety, and lot of variety in this unity. So in one person, he saw that this one person manifested as different Vishnumurtis and different cows and calves and boys, and now all of them are again one. They all have become Vishnumurtis, and the source of all these Vishnumurtis is Krishnamurti. So in the machine, all parts may be iron, but the machine includes varied activities. Similarly, in a tree, there are varieties of leaves, fruits and flowers. Now, the fruit has a separate identity. Flower has a separate identity. Leaf and the twig and the branch, they all have separate identities. Trunk has separate identity. Just separate from it and then it is like this. So, when you have to offer to the deities, you pluck the flower and then offer. Pluck the fruit and cut it and then offer, like that. So, but tree is like one identity with this, which includes all these identities. Like, similarly, Krishna is like one ultimate identity, and all his parts and parcels, who are like different categories of expansions. It could be Vishnu's, it could be other halogeny potency, or it could be even the separated energy like material energy, or it could be the Vibhinnamsha, Swamsha, Vibhinnamsha, whatever it may be, they are all part and parcel of Krishna. All of them together is Krishna. And Krishna also maintains a separate identity. Just like tree has its separate identity. Even if we pluck a flower and the fruit from the tree and some leaves from the tree, tree itself exists. Right? And more branches also will come, more fruits also will come. And the fruit also is utilized in different ways. So like that, there is diversity in the tree and there is unity also. Prabhupada gives another example of screw, this machine that may have wheels and screws and spindle, etc. This is the lubrication. Similarly, as explained in the Vedas, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shuruyate. Vividha is varieties. The same Shakti or potency works in variegated ways. Here, the Ahladini Shakti manifests as Radharani. But Krishna and Radharani are the same. Although one is potent and other is potency. So, Radha and Krishna are one. So, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ahladini Shakti Rasmat. Ekatmanav Api Bhuvipura Dehavedav Gatoto. So, Ekatmanav, they are one in identity, but they have separated themselves as Radha and Krishna. Api Bhuvipura, like since like when, in the beginning of the time, right? No one can trace out when these two have personalities have become two, although they are one. No one can figure that out. And Chaitanyakhyam Prakatamadhuna Tadvayam Chaityam Aptam. Although that one became two, and the two became one again in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Ultimately, everything is Krishna only. That Krishna became two. Through his Haradini potency, he manifested Radharani, and then there are two personalities. And these two personalities have again become one. So, he is a third personality, who is a combination of other two. So, it's like all three are standing on our altar. So, Prabhupada writes that here. Achintya refers to that which we cannot contemplate, but have to accept. There is no point arguing on what is inconceivable to our capacity. Unless we accept Achintya in the Supreme, we cannot accommodate the conception of God. Achintya khalu ye bhava natam starkena yojayet. With tarka, with argumentation, you cannot conceive that which is inconceivable. So, people generally want to argue. But our process is not arguing, it is accepting. The Vedic knowledge as it is, accepting the glory of Krishna as it is. If one argues, he may continue for the rest of Brahmaji's life, he may not be able to figure out certain things. So, many spiritual things, definitely there is logic, there is also sound logical presentation, rational presentation, all that is there. But ultimately we should have an element of faith also. Some simplicity to accept things as it is, even beyond our logical capacity. How long you will apply logic? How many things you will constantly try to understand just based on logic and rules and regulations? Somewhere you have to work, operate based on faith. Right? So now somebody goes to a hotel and then he will get a plate of whatever, breakfast, poha, or idli, or dosa, otappa, paratha, something he will get. He can keep on analyzing it. A paratha kisse banaya, sabji kidhar se kharida, right? Like did the cook take bath properly before making it? What all you have mixed? What kind of salt you used? Did you use powdered salt or just some iodized salt? There is no limit to analyzing that one paratha. There could be 1,000 questions just posing about the existence of paratha. But just simply eat it, relax, pay the bill and then go out. Right? Then you can do other things, right? So everything you can't analyze with your intellectual analytical abilities. That's what Prabhupada says. So Brahmaji tried to analyze Krishna's potency, especially when the object is paratha. Okay, at least you may post 1,000 questions, you may get answers to all those 1,000 questions also. All that is redundant, still you have a hope of getting all these answers. But some topics you can't get answers, right? So, what is the extent of Krishna's potency? There is no answer to it. Then Krishna also cannot explain, this is the extent of my potency. Even if he has ability to explain, you don't have ability to assimilate and you don't have time only. You don't have lifetime also. You don't have so much capacity to assimilate all of that. Better accept it. Krishna is glorious. He is having this fun with all these boys. Let them have fun. I will do my own creation business. So, Brahma could have understood like that. But Brahma wanted to test. Let's see. What is the extent of Krishna's potency and how he tried to test it by his own potency, and his potency is insignificant in comparison to Krishna's potency, right? Let me see the weight of that stone. Madan Mohan temple they are making, right? So let me see the weight of how much weight it would be. Then we are not trying to get a crane also. You are just trying to lift it on your own. Right? You only tried. Yesterday you were putting some tarpaulin over there, right? So just you get a desire. what is the way, let me figure out on my own, with my own potency. Try to lift it, lift it, lift it. Your hand will break, okay, you'll lose other hand. Try to lift it, lift it. So you can't handle it. And there should be an acceptance that I don't have the ability to do this task. When I don't have ability to do this task, you have to surrender someone. What is that surrender? Call the crane. Call crane, or what is that?
Hydra.
Hydra. Call Hydra. And what time is it? You can relate to this example very easily. I never planned to say this. It's Paramatma's inspiration only. You got the right message. At the end. So, and that too, with what? They have some special belts, right? It seems like a normal belt only, but it can take 5 tons weight also, right? Instead, you just tie your cow pin there. Right, carbon will break, this will not be lifted, right? So you should have the proper instrument also. So call Hydra, take the right belt with the right capacity, and then you will be seeing it getting lifted. So every problem is when we want to do everything on our own. So that is called Aroha Pantha. Trying to surrender to a superior authority is Avaroha Pantha. Right? Aroha Pantha. Prabhupada writes, Brahma however adopted Aroha Pantha. He wanted to understand Krishna's mystic power by his own limited conceivable power, and therefore he himself was mystified. See, this paragraph is a brilliant, deep paragraph. Everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge, thinking that I know something. The false ego gets a great kick if you figure out something on your own without depending on someone else. If you manage to do some task on your own, without taking someone else's assistance, right? So we are there. Actually, it's a fact that if you are not bothered, who gets the credit? And if you just depend on multiple devotees to accomplish one service, then the service can be done with a better quality and at a faster pace than you trying to figure out everything about that service on your own and not depending on other devotees. That way, by depending on other devotees, you get more ideas and more perspectives to handle that service, and things can be done much faster also. But if you just depend on your own abilities all the while, thinking that I know everything, I can figure out everything, then it's like Aroha Pantha. That's some experience with people. And then take their suggestions. Be humble to take some suggestions. Don't feel proud that I can do things on my own. That's what Prabhupada says. Everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge, his own capabilities, his own skills, thinking I know something. But in the presence of Krishna, this conception cannot stand. You may get the pleasure or boost of false ego in trying to prove yourself and trying to understand or do things on your own in front of other people who may not be so so talented like you. Yes. Dai Hari Prabhu, you can come inside. Yeah. He has a lot of space. But in the presence of Krishna, this conception cannot stand. For one cannot bring Krishna within the limitations of Prakriti. One must submit. See the point Prabhupada is making. One must submit. There is no alternative. Na tam starkena yojayet. This submission marks the difference between Krishnaites and Mayavadis. Right? Especially the purports in this chapter, we need to give so much weightage. Prabhupada is repeating some verses. Natam starkena yojayet. Within the same purport, he repeated twice. This purport and in the previous purport. Also, Nayam Atma Prabhupada, 54th purport and 57th purport, he repeated the same thing. And one more thing also. Tadharajastamo bhavata kamalo bhadayase. That also he mentioned. Nashta prayashu abhadreshu. You should take shelter of Bhagavatam to come out of this bewilderment, to come to higher modes. That also he mentioned. So these are certain purports that Prabhupada is giving sleeping on his deathbed. He is about to pass away. This is 57th purport, and he will write only till 64th purport. Right? So we need to give so much weightage to these final statements of Prabhupada. So everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge, thinking I know something. But in the presence of Krishna, this conception cannot stand. Right? Next. Atan nirasana refers to discarding of that which is irrelevant. So this whole paragraph is about trying to understand something by negation. Definition by negation. This is not, this is not. Yesterday we have seen how Balaramji was analyzing. Oh, is it the work of some Gandharvis? No, no, it cannot be. Is it the work of some Rakshasis? No, not at all. Rakshasis Maya or Gandharvis Maya cannot influence me. Is it the work of some exalted sages who took the form of all these cows and boys so that they can have intimate reciprocation with Krishna? He was thinking like that, but he rejected that option also. Is it the work of Kamsa and other demons who wanted to divert Vrajavasis' affection for Krishna towards their own sons and like that alienate Krishna? How can that be possible? That is also not possible. Like that, Balaramji was constantly rejecting several options. Right? That could be the reasons for this kind of Maya. So when he saw all the older Gopas expressing so much affection to the younger Gopas, he was thinking like this. So that is rejection. Even Krishna also explains the science of soul through this rejection thing, through negation. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, na chainam kledayantyapo, na shoshayati marutaha. Nainam chindanti shastrani. You cannot pierce it with weapon. Right? Nainam dahati pavakaha. By fire you cannot burn the soul. Na chainam kledayantyapo. So like that, Prabhupada here also explaining the science of soul towards the end. The soul can never be cut into pieces by any weapon like that. So that's what the word Atan Nirasana means. Now 58th verse. Tatorva pratilabdha kshaha. Kah paretavad uthitaha. Krichrat unmilyavai drishtir. Achashtidam sahatmana.
Achashtidam sahatmana.
Now Brahma's external consciousness is revived and he stood up, just like a dead man coming back to life. Opening his eye with a great difficulty, he saw the universe along with himself.
So Brahmaji came to his consciousness and he stood up just like a dead man coming back to life. So in this context, Prabhupada writes about death. So we actually do not die. Before leaving the body, Prabhupada says, we actually do not die. Die means we just become inert for some time and then again begin our activities. Right? We just go into sleep mode or hibernate mode for a while and again we will begin activities. So he is convinced that my departure from this world at this context is not my end. It's not the end of my existence. While most dying people will think like that. Because their identity with their bodies and with their houses, with their family members and with their property and all the material attachments is so deep rooted that this death causes a lot of insecurity in them. And they will think, they are thinking that my whole existence is shaken up now. But Prabhupada does not have that misconception at all. Right? So, na uttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat kathamrutam syat sambhramo antakalepi smaratam tat padamrutam. There is no sambhrama. There is no misconception or bewilderment or confusion even at the time of death. Prabhupada is commenting about death lying on deathbed. Right? So, die means that we become inert for some time. We actually do not die. At death, we are merely kept inert for some time, just as during sleep. It's like a long sleep. So, if we, Prabhupada also writes, in human life, if we prepare ourselves by beginning the activity of our spiritual life, we return to our real life and attain perfection. Otherwise, according to karma, swabhava, prakriti, kala, six items we discussed yesterday, right? According to all the six items, we just have to continue activity, material activity in this life, in this world. Right? So Prabhupada says, if you perform devotional service, you can go back to spiritual world. That is not death. It is it is upgradation of your geographical location from material world to spiritual world, right? So it is not actually death. So the Krishna consciousness movement wants to stop koti janma. So if one is not performing devotional service at the time of death, he will not go to spiritual world. He will continue in the material world in a different body, in a different situation. But Krishna consciousness movement is to stop that kind of transmigration, perpetual transmigration from one body to another body. And the death means you should go back to spiritual world. That's why Ayur Harati Vaipumsam Udyannastam Chayannaso Tasyarte Yat Kshano Anita Uttama Sloka Vartaya. So by the rising and setting of sun, the Ayu, the lifespan of a materialistic person is reduced. One day is cut off. Maybe he is supposed to live for 70 years or 80 years. So now by the rising and setting of sun, one day is gone, one day is gone, one day is gone. So like that, he is one day closer to death. Every day passes, he becomes one day closer to death. But it is not the case with one who is hearing Krishna Katha. Udyannastam cha yannaso tasyarte yat kshano anita uttama shloka vartaya. So the rising and setting of the sun does not reduce the lifespan of a devotee who is dedicated to hearing Krishna Katha. How is that? When a devotee is dedicated to hearing Krishna Katha, as Prabhupada is saying here, then he is closer to his real life. He is not close to death. So 24 hours he is closer to Krishna. 24 hours he is closer to spiritual world. Right? So now you just got into train at Mumbai. You are supposed to go to say Bangalore. So as hours are passing, you are closer to destination. Do you lament that, oh, my train journey time is getting exhausted minute by minute, hour by hour, right? Maybe 10 hours journey. So every 1 hour you feel relief that, just 1 hour closer to my destination. That happiness is there. Devotee also feels like that. Oh, I am one day closer to Krishna. How can he be assured of that? Provided he dedicates his life to hearing. Uttama shloka vartaya, hearing and chanting and serving Krishna, he can be assured that I am closer to Krishna. Otherwise, he will be fearful that I am closer to death. Oh, death is coming closer. So it could happen in practicing devotees also. Like in one canto of Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that if devotees also feel that, in third canto I think, if devotees also, practicing devotees also feel the fear of death, what is the use of their study of literatures? Fifth canto, prayers of residents of Jambudvipa, I think in that context. You remember that only, right? So, fifth canto, it says. So, devotees should not feel like that. If there is fear of death.
Narada Muni's
prayer, correct. Bharatavarsha prayers, correct. To Naranarayan Rishi. If devotees also feel the fear of death, then what is the use of their Vedic study, etc., scriptural study, etc.? So there should be assurance on the part of devotee that Krishna will take care of him. There should not be insecurity in the part of devotee to change his body. Right? What will happen? Agle janam kya milega? Right? Or whatever. They will not see, when someone is fearful of death, he will not think what will happen to my next life. Generally, it is not the case. He will only think what will happen to my possessions and attachment in this life. I will be disconnected from my property and material attachments in this life. That is his primary concern if he is fearful of death. He will not think what will happen to my next life. Right? So, most people. So, here, Prabhupada is speaking like that about death. So, Krishna consciousness movement wants to stop koti janma, repeated birth and death. In one birth, one should rectify everything and come to permanent life. This is Krishna consciousness. Sapatyeva bhita pashyan. Dishopashyat purasthitam. Vrindavanam janadhitva. Drumakirnam samapriyam.
Then, looking in all directions, Lord Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him, filled with the trees, which were the means of livelihood for the inhabitants, and which were equally pleasing in all seasons.
So far, Brahmaji has seen a lot of opulence of Krishna. Vishnumurti forms, four-handed Vishnumurti forms, so many vibhutis, so many tattvas, 24 tattvas, personified opulences, they were worshipping the Lord. He had that kind of darshan, majesty darshan he had. Now he is having the darshan of sweetness. He is having the darshan of Vrindavan with so many trees. See, the description has become so simple and down to earth as soon as Vrindavan came. That simplicity and innocence is the main theme of Vrindavan. It's filled with simplicity and innocence. So he immediately saw Vrindavan filled with trees, which were the means of livelihood for inhabitants. And they were equally pleasing in all seasons. Prabhupada writes in the purport that different trees are pleasing in different seasons. Now in one season, the tree is lush green with so many leaves. And in the next season, all the leaves are gone. Right? But here, it is not that in one season the trees are pleasing and in another season they are not pleasing. Rather, they are equally pleasing throughout all seasonal changes. That is Vrindavan's speciality. Not only trees, not only the pleasant ambience there, it's more with the relationships amongst the inhabitants. That is the special sweetness of Vrindavan. Not only the relationships amongst the human beings, relationships between the human beings and non-humans also, that is also very cordial and filled with the love for Krishna. So that is the theme of Vrindavan. Yatra naisarga durvaira,
yatra naisarga durvaira,
sahasandra mrugadaya,
sahasandra mrugadaya,
yatra naisarga durvaira,
yatra naisarga durvaira,
sahasandra mrugadaya,
sahasandra mrugadaya,
mitrani vajita vasa,
mitrani vajita vasa,
dutarutarshakadikam,
dutarutarshakadikam,
Mitrani vajita vasa,
Mitrani vajita vasa,
Dhritarutarshakadikam,
Dhritarutarshakadikam,
Yatra naisarga durvairaha. Naisarga means by nature, the innate swabhava of a person. So in Vrindavan, Nru Mruga, the human beings and animals, although they are naturally inimical towards each other, that enmity will not manifest in their dealings. Tigers and human beings cannot get along with each other. Right? So they are like ferocious animals. They can eat men also. But human beings, they are fearful. It's generally the case. In Vrindavan, even sadhus also call the tigers. Come, tiger, you come. Take this cow milk. Just take this milk. That's how in Vrindavan, there is a wonderful friendship between ferocious animals and even the human beings. Sahasan. Sahasan means they stay together. It's inconceivable. How can tiger have a friendship with Krishna? A friendship with a human being. And that's what happened in Jharkhand forest also. As soon as Lord Chaitanya went into Jharkhand, tigers and deer, they started embracing each other. They were dancing together in Kirtan. They were kissing each other. It's inconceivable for us. This happened 500 years back. Why can't it happen 5000 years back and in the eternal Dham of Vrindavan? This verse seems unbelievable, but we should have faith here. Here you can't apply logic. Just now we were discussing, right? By logic and analytical power, we cannot conceive of certain facts. Here we have to believe, accept the words of Sukadeva Goswami, just giving credit to his personality, like that. Yatra naisarga durvairaha saha asan mrugadayaha. So mitrani iva, just as if they are friends. Now, okay, there is not enmity. Right? There is no enmity between human beings and animals. That's at one level. But mitrani, there is not just no enmity, there is a positive feeling also. Friendship is also there. Right? No enmity is at one level, neutral level. Enmity is a negative level. Envy is a negative level. No envy is a neutral level. But friendship is a positive stage. They are in that stage. Mitrani iva, just like they are friends, they just interact with each other. Mitrani iva ajita avasa. They live in Krishna's residence. Ajita avasa. Dhrita rut tarshaka adhikam. Rut means anger. Tarshaka means thirst. So dhrita rut tarshaka adhikam means they have given up anger and hunger and thirst. So in this world, if someone is hungry, he it's very difficult to tolerate that hunger. And even hunger people may be able to tolerate to some extent. Thirst it is very difficult to tolerate. That's why whoever is doing nirjal, hats off, we do, because it's difficult to tolerate hunger, thirst. But because all the Vrajavasis are absorbed in Krishna so much, hunger, anger and thirst will not bother them, and the natural enmity between human beings and animals also is not existent there, because they are absorbed in Krishna. So no natural calamity can trouble Vrindavan Vasis. Krishna Rama Katham Muda Kurvanto, how does it begin? Itinandadayo Gopa Krishna Rama Katham Muda Kurvanto Ramamanasya Navindam Bhavavedam. So all the Gopas headed by Nanda, they are constantly discussing the Katha, the topics or the activities of Krishna and Balaram. So although there are hundreds of calamities in Vrindavan, still they never experienced any material tribulation because of that calamity. Right? Krishna Rama Katha Muda, with great happiness they are discussing about Krishna and Rama. So one should not do this as a duty or an obligation. It's not an obligation for us to read Bhagavatam. It's a source of sustenance for us to read Bhagavatam. And it's a source of relish and happiness to take shelter of Krishna Katha. So when you say obligation, you do on a duty platform. When you say source of sustenance, then okay, my survival is dependent on this. So I'm doing it. It's also closer to obligation only. But the happiness is coming from this. My happiness, my pleasure, my satisfaction is coming from Krishna Rama Katha, then that is real taking shelter of Krishna Katha. Right? Krishna Rama Katha Muda Kurvanto Ramamanasya. He's not just stopping at Muda. Then again he added Ramamanasya with great happiness. Na Avindam Bhavavedanam. So Na Avindam Bhavavedanam means they have not experienced any material anxiety. So actually the source of anxiety in Vrindavan is Krishna only. Only after Krishna entered Vrindavan, Putana came, then Chakatasura came, Trinavarta came, then Yamalarjuna trees fell down, then Vatsasura came, Bakasura came, Aghasura, Vyomasura, Kaliya, all these calamities are coming only after Krishna came. Before that, what Nanda Maharaj was experiencing, Upananda was experiencing, that was not very much discussed. Right? So anyone in entire Vrindavan, using little common sense, they can understand that only because of Krishna so many demons are coming. All the demons are targeting Krishna and Balaram only. So let's check them out. That if Krishna is away from Vrindavan, we can peacefully stay in Vrindavan. They were about to die when Akrura came to take away Krishna and Balaram. Okay, they may be feeling that no. If we ourselves will say that it will not look good, let it naturally happen. Let it organically happen. So organically it happened. How? Kamsa had sent Akrura. Akrura came to take Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavan to Mathura. Then it was not a source of cause of celebration for all the Vrajavasis. It was a cause of greatest lamentation, sorrow, separation. All of them were about to give up their lives. And finally, after a long meeting, Garga Samhita describes the long meeting that happened that night when Akrura came. Next day morning, Krishna was about to leave Mathura. And just before that, in that night, there was a big meeting. Krishna had to convince a lot. Then Purnamasi came there, and then there was a very big meeting. Finally, they agreed to send Krishna out, only the elders. Only because Krishna will come back day after tomorrow. There was so much discussion to send Krishna out of Vrindavan just for 2 days. Just because Krishna promised that I will come back in 2-3 days, then there was an approval even from elders also. That too, elders approved only because if we don't send Krishna according to Kamsa's order, Kamsa might do some mischief here. He may come to Vrindavan and do something. Let's just do it. And even if Kamsa attacks Krishna, Krishna can kill him. That confidence also they had. Right? Because Krishna killed so many demons, right? Out of affection, they were thinking that, okay, let's not send Krishna, but even if we send Krishna also, this can Krishna can come back in 2 days. They could never conceive that Krishna would stay there only at Mathura. That was a big shock of their life. But in spite of all this analysis and approvals, the gopis could not sleep that whole night, and they were thinking that what happened to all these elders? They have gone mad or what? Are they not realizing that we are sending Krishna out of Vrindavan? Right? If Krishna goes out, he may not come back only. He may, so that they are taking such a great risk of their lives, they are not realizing, they are foolish. Like that gopis were contemplating whole night. They had meetings, individual meetings, small small meetings here and there. Then what to speak of Srimati Radharani? She is about to give up her life also. Then in that night, Krishna just expanded himself into so many forms and went to all these gopis to pacify. And especially he went to Srimati Radharani and then said, you should give me a promise that you will not give up your life after I go to Vrindavan. Because it's a, it is also my responsibility to kill the demons, and so many devotees at Mathura are also staying, waiting for me. So if you promise that you will not give up your life, then only I can confidently go out of Vrindavan. So like that he said. Then finally Srimati Radharani agreed with a condition, and there was a very long conversation. Garga Samhita describes that. So like finally Krishna got this permission from them with a heavy heart from all these gopis. And in spite of all this interaction in the night, in the morning all the gopis came out. Came out and stopped Akrura's chariot. Some of them were beating the horses, some of them were beating the chariot driver, and some of them were lying on the road. If you want to go to Vrindavan, go to Mathura, just cross our dead bodies, like that. So there was no inclination in any of the Vrajavasis to give up the association of Krishna, in spite of he being the source of so many calamities in Vrindavan. So calamities will come in this world, but they should become more impetus for us to take shelter of Krishna more and increase our love for Krishna more. If it is a devotee who is like practicing devotee, he should take inspiration from even Kunti Maharani also. She says the calamity is a source of an opportunity where we can meet you, we get your darshan. Bhavato darshanam yasyat, apunar bhava darshanam. So at that level, when calamity comes, we can depend on Krishna. Krishna will come and protect us from that calamity, and we don't have to visit this material world again. That's at one level. But in Vrindavan, when calamity comes, that becomes a source of an opportunity where all the Vrajavasis can intensify their love for Krishna. When Kalia is binding Krishna, the love of all these Vrindavan Vasis increased. Their love towards Krishna increased. When calamity of Indra's attack came, then Krishna lifted Govardhan. All these Vrajavasis, they were having condensed prema experience by seeing Krishna for 7 days and seven nights. That when Krishna kicked Shakatasura, he just went like that and then it fell down. So that only intensified the prema of Vrajavasis. That did not cause any feelings of reverence in them. Oh, this child is so powerful, so we love him more. Like that. Child is so powerful, we need not take care of his well-being. That was not the conclusion. Child is powerful, it may be, but he deserves our love and affection. Right? He is dependent on love and affection. And even after Govardhan episode, for a moment, all the Vrajavasis, especially the elderly Gopas, so they felt that Krishna must be really special. And they enumerated all the incidents that happened in Vrindavan, Putana, then Shakatasura, Bakasura, all this. And then finally, the 7-year-old boy lifted Govardhan for 7 days and 7 nights, so he must be really special. Then, after that, they felt that although Krishna is like that, he is so special, he is protecting us from all calamities, but when we don't show affection, he behaves like a small child only. When we don't take care of him, he will feel disappointed. So it seems that he is in desperate need of our affection and love. All the elderly gopas were telling Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj immediately said, oh, there is some kind of trace of some other feeling entering these gopas' hearts. Actually, that never entered only. But Nanda Maharaj was thinking that, oh my dear Gopas, please don't feel like that. Don't deprive my son of your affection. So you should continue to shower your affection. Somehow our Gargamuni said in the Namakarana ceremony, Gargamuni said that he is a special child. He is having special blessings of Narayana. Only because of Narayana's potency, he is able to do all these small things of lifting Govardhan, etc., etc. Otherwise, he is a small child only. You should continue to shower your affection. Then all the Gopas said, ah, yes, we will continue to shower our affection. So, we cannot give up our affection, right? We didn't come for this meeting so saying that Krishna doesn't need our affection. We are convinced that he needs our affection. So, they said like that. And after that, they went into a dispute with Nanda Maharaj. Garga Samhita says that that chapter is Gopa Vivada. Nanda Maharaj, what you said, point is all right. But it seems that you have hidden something from us. When did this Namakaran ceremony happen? When did Gargamuni come to you? Right? You have named Krishna without our knowledge. And there was a big argument. Then Nanda Maharaj had to convince them, oh, it happened in a secret way, all that he had to convince. And all the Gopas, actually, Gargamuni went and named Srimati Radharani also. He went to Vrishabhanu also. He also knows this incident. Then all of them went to Vrishabhanu. Right? And they had some discussion there. There is another vivada. So so far they were apparently overwhelmed with, astonished with the majestic vibhutis of Krishna. And that memory is totally gone. Right? They are just absorbed in their love for Krishna. So because of that, there is no experience of calamity. There is only experience of bliss and happiness in the midst of all these astonishing incidents and calamities. Right? So, yatra naisarga durvaira. We went somewhere else, I think. Total detour. So, yatra naisarga durvaira sahasan rubrigadaiha. Mitrani iva jitavasa. Mitrani iva. Just like friends, they all live. Jata rut tarshakadikam. So there is no question of anger or hunger or thirst. Nobody is feeling hungry under Govardhan. Even while hearing all these leelas, our Parikshit Maharaj is not feeling any hunger and thirst. Right? In the 10th canto, 7th chapter, 3rd verse. Tiktodam api badhate pibantam tan mukhamboja chutam harikathamritam. Right. Chutam harikathamritam. Harikatha, nectar is coming from your mouth. I am not feeling any thirst and hunger. Continue. He says like that. If hearing of Krishna's pastimes can give so much of relief from hunger and thirst, what to speak of actually participating in those pastimes, witnessing those pastimes, helping in those pastimes. So there is no hunger and thirst. There is no envy also. Prabhupada writes, brilliant point here. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification. For the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. If the aim is Krishna's satisfaction, one's sense gratificatory desires will go. Right? Will go in the background. If the aim is sense gratification, then envy will come. Because someone else is experiencing the gratification that my senses are desiring. My subtle body is desiring. And there is envy towards him. If there is no sense gratification desire only, there is only pleasure to serve Krishna, one is happy, oh, this person is serving Krishna in this way, I am happy to see him. I am happy to see Krishna being served like this. Sometimes envy can creep in a sadhaka's heart also, because someone else gets an opportunity to render servant, so privileged service, while this person is deprived of that opportunity. Right? So then also envy can come. Even in devotional circles also there is a lot of envy. Prabhupada writes this in 9th canto, 11th chapter. 9th canto, 11th chapter, Lord Ram's pastimes, Phalasriti of Lord Ram's pastimes. Purusho Ramacharitam Shravana Nyupadharayan Andrishamsa Parorajan Karma Bandhaihi Vibuchyati. In that purport Prabhupada writes that by hearing Ramakatha, one will be freed from this disease of envy. And this envy is there even in spiritual circles. Even practicing spiritualists also feel envious of other devotees because of their advancement. So celebrating other success is easier said and easier appreciated than implemented. So it is to implement and imbibe that spirit is not a small thing. When someone else is in a good standing or good position in devotional service also, there could be so many glances on him, and we feel a little envious. Hey, how is he like this? Mere saath aaya, how can he be like this? Right? Mere baad mein aaya, how can he be like this? Yeah, right. So one should actually feel that pleasure and happiness to see Krishna being served by so many devotees in various ways, in various talents. Right. We need to consciously make an effort to imbibe that kind of spirit. So that's the source of that envy, the root of that envy is in desiring sense gratification. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification. For the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. Just convert our aim to be Krishna's satisfaction, then one's own satisfaction, then envy will just run away. Thus, envy and malice are unknown to Vrindavan. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. Krishna kirtana gana nartana kala patho janin bhrajita. So ultimately, the repeatedly Bhagavatam presents this only one solution: just perform devotional service, of which Shravanam is the foremost link. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Krishna Utkirtana Gana, here Srimad Bhagavatam, and here he says rendering service to Krishna, satisfying Krishna. Then all these anarthas that are prominent in the material world cannot trouble. What is that verse? Krutsro Mahan Iha Bhavarnavam Apalavesham Shadvarganakrama Sukhena Titirishanti Tattvam Hare Bhagavato Bhajaniya Mangrim. This is a glorification of bhakti process, fourth canto, Prithu Maharaj's episode. All these anarthas like envy, hatred, anger, all these are like sharks, powerful sharks in the ocean of material existence. And we are trying to swim across this ocean of material existence. And when we are swimming, some shark will come and attack us. These are all six senses and six anarthas. Some shark will come and attack us. How can we cross over the material existence? We don't have a boat also. So for us to cross over this material existence, we need a boat. We cannot swim. Although you know swimming, you are an expert swimmer also, the sharks are there. You are not bigger than shark. You are not powerful than shark. They will come and attack in any way. Some shark will come and bite the leg. What you will do? So you need a pakka, very strong boat. That is lotus feet of Lord. And you need a strong captain, that is spiritual master. You need favorable breezes also, that is scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam. And the strong boat in this verse is compared to Lord's lotus feet, and in the other verse, Uddhava Gita verse, it is compared to human body, human birth. Right? So like that, through various analogies, only bhakti yoga is emphasized. So here Prabhupada says, everyone wants to serve Krishna in different capacity. So, that capacity is acknowledged. So, here Prabhupada says that Krishnot Kirtana Gayana Nartana Paro, whether a Goswami or a tiger or a ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. So, everybody wants to please Krishna only. Even the tigers are devotees. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy, the cat is happy, the dog is happy, the man is happy. Everyone is happy. Why everyone is happy? Because everyone has only one intention, to serve Krishna. That service attitude gives happiness to the heart. If one's only aim is to render service to Krishna and there are no other agendas in one's activities, that is the source of happiness. Right? Haituki apratihata yayatma suprasiduti. Right? So, savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhakti radhokshaji. When bhakti is done without any motives and without any interruptions, that is the source of all happiness. That's what is happening in Vrindavan. So, everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and that there is no envy. So, this devotee wants to serve Krishna in this way, in this capacity, and I will be doing this in this way, in this capacity. So, I don't feel envious of him because I have my service. And envy also comes because of insecurity. Because of scarcity mentality. If one thinks that I don't have an opportunity to render service if someone else takes up that service, there is unlimited service, right? One need not feel like that. So that scarcity mentality also creates envy in the heart. One may sometimes think that monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they do some mischief, they steal butter, etc., etc. But here, Prabhupada makes a brilliant point. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has a right to live. How do they live? By depending on Krishna. Krishna would go and distribute butter to monkeys. Right? So monkeys also deserve to eat this prasad. By the mercy given by Krishna, everyone gets a right and capacity to live, and everyone acknowledges Krishna's individual reciprocation with other devotees and doesn't feel envious of them. Right? So this is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness by sadhana. One comes to this platform. So all the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna, and the results are obvious to see. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, development of all good qualities. So Prabhupada quotes some paper reporter. This is some comment by some outsider about Krishna consciousness people. So they are also seeing happiness and good health and peace of mind in these followers of Krishna consciousness movement. Earlier they have bad qualities, now they have good qualities. So all this Prabhupada is quoting. Harav abhaktasya kuto mahatguna. Tatrodhavat pashupavamsa sushishtanatyam. Brahmadvayam paramanantam agadha bodham. Vatsan sakhin iva pura parito vichinvat. Ekam sapani kavalam parameshtya cheshta. See this, she cannot conceive after exhibiting so much opulence and bewildering Brahmaji thoroughly, and Krishna is playing the role of an innocent boy. Again, all these Vishnumurti forms turn into small boys and calves. Brahmaji saw Vrindavan and the qualities of Vrindavan, and he saw Krishna with a morsel of curd rice in his hand, searching for his boys and playing with his boys for like an innocent child only. 6-year-old child. Earlier 5-year-old child, now 6-year-old child. That's all. Right. Tatro dhavat pasupa vamsa shishutva natyam. So shishutva natyam means the play of being a child in the family of pasupa. Pasupa is cowherd boys. Right. Pasupa vamsa shishutva natyam. Beautiful line. Pasupa vamsa means the community or the dynasty of cowherds. Shishutva. Krishna is imbibing that shishutva, childishness. Natyam. He is just dancing like that. Right? Acting like that. So another of Krishna's names is Govinda, Gopala. He who maintains the cows. Then Brahmadvayam paramananta magadha bodham. This personality who is doing this shishutva natyam from a pasupa vamsha is the supreme personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. Brahma, advayam, one without a second. Param, the supreme, anantam, unlimited. Agadha bodham, bodha is knowledge. Right? Agadha bodham means Krishna's knowledge is so deep that you can't understand the depth. Right? Inconceivable knowledge, unlimited knowledge he has. Then what is he doing? Vatsan sakhin ivapura paritaha vichinvat. So just like he was searching for his vatsas and sakhas, he is also doing the same thing now. The 1 year back scene is immediately just rewinded and then kept here. Right? As it is. Same scene. So Brahmaji got that remembrance. Now in movies you see, right? Somebody just gets an electric shock and then he becomes mad or he becomes a little paralyzed. And after that in a similar incident, right? Where another electric shock or a fire accident is there, he sees that and then he regains his consciousness or like that. So Brahmaji has seen the same scene. Krishna searching for calves and boys, like an innocent boy here and there. 1 year back, He thought, I bewildered him so nicely, wonderful. But who is getting the paralysis here? Or who is becoming bewildered? Brahmaji, not Krishna. Krishna is the bewilderer. He is not the bewildered. So Brahmaji came and saw the same scene and he was like, God, who is he? So earlier he saw only this part. Right? Tatrodhavat, Pashupa Vamsha Shishutva Natyam only he has seen earlier. He forgot that he is Brahmadvayam Paramananta Magadha Bodham. Brahmaji forgot the second line and he was bewildered by the first line. Now both lines are revealed to him in this verse towards the end of the chapter. Vatsan Sakhin Iva Pura Parito Vichinvat Ekam Sapani Kavalam Parameshti Achashta. Parameshti Achashta. Parameshti is Brahma, he has seen. Ekam Sapani means one pani, one hand he is carrying curd rice. Right? So this verse brings together Krishna's majestic godhood and childhood as a boy in Vrindavan. So what is the extent of our intelligence in comparison to the vast expanse of water and ocean? Right? Yesterday we were discussing that examples that one tries to measure the span of sky with his hand span. One tries to measure the Pacific Ocean with a yardstick scale, 15-inch scale or 13-inch scale. So it's not possible. So what is the extent of our intelligence to understand Krishna? Nave, what is that? Save, no, no. Nate viduhu. No, no, not that, not that. Name viduhu swaraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha. Aham adirhidevana maharshinam tu sarvasaha. Name viduhu swaraganaha. Swaragana means all great demigods cannot understand me. Prabhavam na maharshayaha. Even sages also cannot understand me. Why? Aham adirhi devanam. I am the adi. I am the origin of all devas and maharshis. How can you understand your own origin? Origin, this lotus sprouted from Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's navel and Brahmaji took birth on it. And he tries to understand the origin of the lotus. He tries to understand the source of his birth. He came all the way to the stem. We have beautiful paintings of all this. He came to the stem, he came closer to the navel, but he could not understand. Then Krishna gave him intelligence. Meditate on me. Relax. Don't try to search everywhere. Don't waste your time. Just meditate on me, everything will be revealed to you. Then Brahmaji started meditating. Then Garbhodara Sai Vishnu's beautiful form is revealed. Preksham Kshipantam Haritopaladre Sandhyabra Nivir Ururukma Murdhanaha. So like that, there are series of verses where Brahmaji has the darshan of Garbhodara Sai Vishnu, then he offers prayers and the Lord reveals to him and then speaks to him. So in that context, Prabhupada writes, don't that Brahmaji's personal endeavors were not useful for him to understand Krishna or see Krishna. Only when the Lord revealed to him out of his mercy, Brahmaji could understand. Similarly, Narada Muni was also meditating as per the process given to him by Bhaktivedantas. Then he was meditating, he could see Krishna, immediately that form is lost. He was perturbed, he was searching everywhere. Then finally, Krishna came and said, just only voice is seen, only audio, no video. He heard that Krishna said, no more darshans for you because you are not freed from material taints. Someone who is not mature in his devotional service, I will not give him darshan again and again. But why would you give me darshan now? So that is just to intensify your love for me. Actually, Narada Muni did not have material taints. Narada Muni was a pure devotee, even at that stage also. He came to the stage of prema. How can someone who is at the level of prema be having material taints? But Narada Muni's prema at that stage was infant prema. But Krishna wanted it to be young prema. Infant is also human being. Young man is also human being. But the strength is different. So Krishna wanted to intensify that by giving him a glimpse of darshan and allowing him to long for it. So like that, the darshan of Lord's glories and potencies are bestowed upon some devotees and they are withdrawn to intensify their prema. Like that. So with one's intelligence, one cannot actually figure out Krishna or just demand Krishna, you please be present in front of me. That is not possible. Only when Krishna is merciful, then he will show. Like that. So Prabhupada writes, on my passage to America, how insignificant the ship was. like a matchbox in the midst of ocean. Matchbox. So Prabhupada writes, now Brahma Sa Krishna, now not demonstrating his opulence, but standing like an innocent boy with some food in his hand, loitering with his cowherd boyfriends, calves and cows. People generally do not appreciate something. Another brilliant line Prabhupada writes. People generally do not appreciate someone unless he shows something wonderful. But here, although Krishna did not manifest anything wonderful, Brahma could understand that the same wonderful person was present like ordinary child, although he was the master of whole creation. So in this material world, the conditioned soul, the conditioned human being, constantly feels a need to see some magic power, something more powerful than him. Then he believes that, oh, he is substantial. Because of that mentality of seeing something powerful, then only accepting it as worth, one also tries to prove himself. I have to establish my glories. Unless I do this, people cannot accept me. So he accepts people based on material considerations or exhibition of opulence. And because he has that mentality, he sees that mentality in others also. And others will accept me only when I exhibit some opulence, some speciality. Right? I should be unique in my style. So this constant need or constant mentality to prove oneself and to accept people only, accept those people who only prove themselves, will perpetually keep in this material world. That is showing off mentality. He is nourishing his showing off mentality, he is nourishing others' showing off mentality by having undue expectations from them. And because of that showing off mentality, independent mentality, controlling mentality, lording over mentality, enjoying mentality, being a proprietor, mentality of being a proprietor, one is perpetually staying in this material world. So one should give up that mentality and then cultivate that simplicity and humility of just rendering service to Krishna and seeking satisfaction and pleasure only in that service, and inspiring others to also render such service, and also getting attracted, inspired by others who are rendering that kind of service. So when this is the healthy attitude that a sadhaka is supposed to cultivate. So Krishna was playing like a dramatic actor. So simplicity generally inspires neglect for material, in the hearts of materialistic people. Simplicity inspires neglect, and majesty inspires reverence, attention. But in the spiritual circles, that simplicity, innocence and humility actually attracts. Now, when you come into spiritual circles, you will actually be impressed by seeing the simplicity and humility of other people. With whatever little knowledge that we have no issues with humble people. We have no envy or any kind of negative feelings towards humble and simple people. Only when someone is little performing and coming in limelight, etc., etc., there is lot of envy and other things will creep in into our hearts, right? So that is because of having wrong calculations of what is success and what is spiritual advancement. So spiritual advancement and success is not exactly the charisma and the power or the opulence that a person exhibits. It is the humility and simplicity of heart that he cultivates in simply rendering submissive service to Krishna and spiritual master. Right? That simplicity of heart is actual spiritual wealth, not the external things. Yeah, external things, they have their own things to play. Their charisma, their power and then influence and attention, that has its role, right, in inspiring people and bringing people to Krishna consciousness. But this is the core. Krishna was playing like a dramatic actor because Brahma had some false prestige, thinking that he had some power. Krishna showed him his real position. Otherwise, Krishna is happy. Krishna is so happy to continue all this playing with his boys and eating with boys on the bank of river. Right? In the beginning of this chapter, we have seen this scene, right? Krishna is enjoying. Krishna is happy to continue like this. Just because Brahmaji had this desire to see Krishna's opulence, Krishna had to manifest all that opulence. Vishnu Murtis, Vibhutis, etc. Otherwise, Krishna is so content, so happy, so he doesn't want to be disturbed or distracted from any other force. He just wants to continue his simple activities with his Vrajavasis, right, with the Gopas. But Brahmaji had a desire to manifest, to see some opulence, so Krishna had to exhibit that. Otherwise, he is not having much interest. So, Drishtva, next verse. Drishtva tvarena nija dhoranato vatirya.
Drishtva tvarena nija dhoranato vatirya.
Prithvyam vapuh kanaka dandamivabhipatya.
Prithvyam vapuh kanaka dandamivabhipatya.
Sprishtva chatur mukhakat. मुखतकोटिभिरङ्घ्रियुग्मम् नत्वा मुदश्रु सुजलैरकृताभिषेकम् See, so far Brahmaji was maintaining this desire to test Krishna's opulence, to challenge Krishna's potency, his glory. That's why Krishna had to exhibit opulence and so much elaborate arrangement of his vibhutis. So this independent desire or this mentality to challenge Krishna's authority would oblige Krishna to manifest this complicated material world, to manifest his authority and then majesty and opulence, etc. But if one has the simplicity of heart, then that would inspire Krishna to behave with him in a simple way. All these Gopa boys are so simple and so innocent. Krishna is not exhibiting any of his opulences in front of them, in their dealings with them. He may be killing demons in front of them, that's a different thing. But in their dealings with them, Krishna is not exhibiting opulence. Sometimes Gopa will come and challenge Krishna, come with me, let's wrestle. Krishna never exhibits his opulence and power. Because with a childish innocence and simplicity, he called Krishna for fight. Krishna will reciprocate and fight with him with that same childish innocence and simplicity. Then there is a simple fight. And Krishna also could be defeated by it. But when a demon challenges Krishna, or when a demigod challenges Krishna, then Krishna had to exhibit his opulence. My power is like this. So, if you scratch the ego of a person, then he will show his real, this thing, right? Right, I am also powerful, what do you think? Right, you can only shout, I can also shout. You can only beat, I can also beat. Like that. So the challenging attitude of the conditioned soul will inspire Krishna to exhibit his opulence. But if one approaches Krishna with simple heart, then Krishna will show only simplicity. And that's what he is comfortable with and he is happy with. He is not comfortable to exhibit so much opulence in Vrindavan. Right? Brahmaji wanted it, so he showed. Now Brahmaji came back to his senses. Drishtva tvarena nija dhoranato vatirya. So, after seeing this, Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier. Right? Nija dhorana. Nija dhoranata means from his swan carrier. He just immediately jump off from it. He descended. Avatirya. Prithviyam vapuhu. This inhabitant of Satyaloka touched this prithvi, this land. Prithviyam vapuhu kanaka dandam ivabhipatya. He just fell flat like a danda rod in front of Krishna's lotus feet. And he's appearing like a kanaka danda, golden rod. He's effulgent, right? After all, he's Brahmaji. And he's not an ordinary personality. So he was appearing like, not like a bamboo stick, like a golden stick he was appearing. Right. Prithyam vapuhu kanaka dandam ivabhipatya sprishtva chatur mukha mukhata kotibhir angri yugvam. So what is he doing? Sprishtva, he was touching. Chatur mukhata kotibhi, the tips of his four crowns. Angri yugvam. The tips of his four crowns are touching 2 feet of Krishna there, sprishtva. Then, natva mudashru salilair sujalair akrita abhishekam. So from his eyes, from his four pairs of eyes, 8 eyes, tears are profusely flowing and they were washing the lotus feet of Krishna. So for his momentary distraction and momentary, desire to test Krishna's opulence, he was profusely crying with great regret and repentance. He was washing Krishna's feet with his tears. Dandavat. So Prabhupada writes, what is Dandavat there? Falling like a stick. This is a golden Dandavat. So he who appeared before Brahma as a human child was in fact absolute truth. The Supreme Lord is Narakriti. He resembles a human being. So it is not that he is four-armed. Someone will think that Narayana is God because he has four hands and Krishna is an incarnation because he has two hands. Just number of hands doesn't make one God or not God. So Krishna remains Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he wants, he can manifest 1,000 arms. Otherwise, he can manifest 2 arms only. So Brahma saw that Krishna in the form of a cowherd boy was Parabrahman, the root cause of everything, but was now appearing as a human child, loitering in Vrindavan with a morsel of food in his hand. Astonished, Brahma hastily got down from his fan carrier and then came down. So Prabhupada again reiterates. So Bhakti-anubhava. Therefore, Brahmaji's crying was a form of Bhakti-anubhava, a transformation of ecstatic love, transcendental ecstatic love. So Brahmaji's repentance is not a material platform. His bewilderment is also not a material platform. His repentance is also not material. That is the experience of bhakti. So Brahmaji is apologizing Krishna. So Brahmaji could understand that this boy standing here, 6-year-old boy, just with a curd rice and stick, etc., he is the source of all these Vishnumurti forms. He is the master of all these opulences. So Krishna manifested his majesty. And after that, in the next chapter, you will see Brahmaji's prayers. He says, my dear Lord, have you not shown me today all your opulences and your forms? And after exhibiting all that opulence, have you not manifested your original form as cowherd boy of Vrindavan? Right, which is the source of all these opulences. That means what? Krishna's form as Balagopal in Vrindavan is the ultimate manifestation of the absolute truth. All other forms, that Narayana, Rama, then Risimha, all these are like the forms that came later, although they are eternally existent. But Krishna's form is the original form. Right. So that is the topmost manifestation of absolute truth, in his full glory. So that was revealed to Brahmaji. 63rd verse. Uthayothaya Krishnasya.
उत्थाय कृष्णस्य
चिरस्य पादयोर्पतन्
आस्ते महित्वं प्राग्दृष्टम्
स्मृत्वा स्मृत्वा पुनः पुनः उत्थाय उत्थाय रेजिंग रिपीटेडली ही फेल डाउन Dandavat he did, again he rose. Krishnasya Chirasya, for a long time he was raising and falling down like that. Padayor Patan, again he fell down at Krishna's lotus feet. Again he rose, again he fell down. He was offering multiple Dandavats. So, Aste Mahitvam Prathak Drishtam, now he has seen Krishna's great glory so far. Smritva Punaha Punaha. He is remembering that glory again and again, again and again. Because once we come in contact with the majesty of another superior personality, when we get a jhatka like that, so that kind of revelation is will repeatedly manifest in our mind. We cannot forget. For example, somebody does a mistake, he gets a warning from his superior. Then one cannot forget that mistake, that is constantly reminded to him. He constantly remembers it and becomes a little more alert in his future dealings. That's what is happening with Krishna. Brahmaji, here in this context, he was like a big man with four heads. And Krishna is just like a small boy, 6-year-old boy. See the comparison, this photo. Where is Brahma and where is Krishna? Like a small boy. But he is the master. He is the servant. He is the master of unlimited masters. And he's like one insignificant servant amongst all those servants. Like that, there's a lot of difference here. Now Brahmaji is coming to his senses. So Prabhupada quotes this prayer, Sritim apare, Smritim itare. let people study smritis and shrutis, Vedas, Puranas, Mahabharata, etc., etc. But I will just worship Nanda Maharaj. In whose courtyard Krishna is playing? So Prabhupada quotes this from Padyavali. So Brahma was falling down in ecstasy because of the presence of Supreme Personality of Godhead, who exactly resembled a human child. So Brahmaji was naturally astonished. Therefore, with a faltering voice, he offered prayers. Last verse. Shanair athothaya vimrujalochane Mukundamudviksha vinamra kandhara Kritanjali prashrayavan samahita Savepathur gadgadaya gadgadayaita leyata.
Then rising very gradually and wiping his two eyes, Lord Brahma looked up at Mukunda. Lord Brahma, his head bent low, his mind concentrated on his body trembling, very humbly began the faltering words to offer praise to Lord Krishna.
Savepathur, body is trembling. Gadgadaya, voice is faltering. He started offering prayers. Right. So Brahma, being very joyful, began to shed tears and he washed Krishna's lotus feet. Repeatedly he fell down. Brahma stood up and smeared his hands over his eyes. He was just rubbing the tears. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that the word lochane indicates that with his two hands he wiped the two eyes on each of his four faces. I don't know how exactly he does. So he was wiping. Then he offers this prayer. First he shares his realization. Right? Nau midyate brahubhushe taditam varaya gunja gunjavatam saparipichala sanmukhaya vanyasraje kavalavetra vishana venu lakshmasriye mridupade vasupangajaya. So first he offers obeisances to Naomi. Idyate, my dear, worshipable. Idyate means worshipable Krishna. Naomi idyate abravapushe. Abravapu means your bodily complexion is resembles cloud. Tadit ambaraya, your ambara, your cloth resembles lightning. Tadit ambaraya. Gunjavatamsa, you are wearing gunjamala, this necklace made of gunja seeds. Kunjavatamsa paripicha lasan mukhaya. You are wearing a peacock feather by which your face is looking very resplendent. Paripicha lasan mukhaya vanyasraje. You are wearing a garland of forest flowers. Kavala vetra. You are holding curd rice in your hand. Vetra, a stick that can control the cows. Kavala vetra vishana venu. You are playing upon your flute, simple. Flute tucked in his right side of his waistcloth, and bugle and vetra on his left side. Kavala vetra vishana venu lakshmasriye mrudupade pasupangajaya. This beautiful form of yours is endowed with all opulences. Lakshmasriye mrudupade, with your tender lotus feet, pasupangajaya, manifested as the son of a cowherd man, which is Vrinda, which is Nanda Maharaj. You are just traversing in this land of Vrindavan. So mrudupade indicates that Krishna is not wearing any slippers. He is just walking barefoot in Vrindavan. And also pashupa angajaya indicates that Krishna's father Nanda Maharaj is superior to Krishna's father Vasudeva. He is addressing him as pashupa angajaya, not as Vasudeva sutam. Vasudeva sutam devam kamsa chanuram ardhanam devaki paramayandam Krishnam vande jagadgurum. That's on a different level. But here Pashupangajaya, Krishna's relationship, Brajavasi father, is highlighted. So that establishes Nanda Maharaj's superiority over Vasudev. And Krishna's Gunjamala and Vanyasraje, Gunjamala decoration is superior to Kaustubha jewel decoration in Vaikuntha also. This Vanyasraje, forest flower garland, is superior to garland made of Parijata flowers also. Right. In Dwarka there is Parijata tree. Krishna brought it only from heavenly planets. But the simple forest flowers of Vrindavan are much superior to those Parijata flowers also. So like that, this first prayer of Brahmaji establishes Krishna's superior form, which is form in Vrindavan, as the topmost manifestation of absolute truth, which is superior to all other forms. So like that he continues. Thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All the best.
There are many other points in other commentaries. I don't want to make another session. I didn't share anything much from Gopal Chandra.